Okay, we're looking at some guidelines to the proper method of Bible study. We've seen 10, just general guidelines, things that we need to keep in mind, whatever method of Bible study we choose, and we should not limit ourselves to just one particular method, and we'll get in that a little later. But the guidelines are, again, the Bible interprets itself. That's something we need to always remember. The Bible is to be taken literally. Again, we must reiterate that does not mean that there is not figurative language in the Bible. But what it does mean is wherever there is figurative language in the Bible, it teaches literal truth. So the Bible is to be literally interpreted. Number three, chapter divisions are not natural divisions of thought, and we spent quite a bit of time on that, and that's very important. Fourthly, verses are not equivalent to sentences, and we looked at that last week. Fifthly, and this also is of utmost importance, Scripture must be kept in its proper setting. And we'll get into the methods of the various methods of study. And one of those methods, of course, is a topical study. Nothing wrong with a topical study, but the danger in that is to lift Scripture out of its setting or out of its context. So we need to keep Scripture within the bounds of its grammatical context, within the bounds of its historical setting. Sixthly, we need to always recognize dialogue, that is, who is speaking, to whom they are speaking, and of what are they speaking. Seventhly, we need to, and this isn't as important as some of the rest, but we need to consider the style of writing. There are portions of Scripture that are statutory, that is, they are in the form of a command. There are historical books, and of course, if you're reading a historical book, you must stay within the context of its historical setting. There is poetry in the Word of God, the Psalms and so on, proverbial, Book of Proverbs, and then, of course, proverbial is not limited to the Book of Proverbs. There are other proverbial passages of Scripture. There's parables. Again, in a parable, doesn't make it any less Scripture. A parable is used to teach literal truth. There's allegorical, which is different than parable. But there is allegorical. Book of Song of Solomon would be a good example of that. There, of course, are epistles, which are letters. And a letter, it's important to know the writer of the letter. It's important to know who he's writing to, and what's the point of the letter. So we need to just consider the style of writing. Eighthly, we need to recognize and we need to somewhat analyze words and grammar. We must not be oblivious to how words are used. We must not be oblivious to grammatical structure. Ninthly, we need to remember, and this is becomes very important if you decide to read the Bible through in a year. The Bible does not appear in chronological order in our King James Bibles. And if you're going to read the Bible through in a year, it would be wise to do so chronologically. So we must remember that the Bible does not appear in chronological order. And then tenthly, something that we all are prone to do to a degree, that is, we're prone, it's our nature, to put Scripture in the box of what we believe, put Scripture in the box of what we have experienced. Again, do not confine Scripture in a box of belief and experience. But if you, through studying the Scriptures, find out that your belief is erroneous, you need, of course, to change your belief. You need to change your theology. No one should be afraid of having their theology challenged by Scripture. We need that. And that's not something that we ought to ignore. When Scripture challenges our theology, we need to look. We need to consider and be willing to submit. So those are just 10 basic guidelines that would be good to always remember. Now the method, whatever method we choose, the method of Bible study should always be with great carefulness, always, whatever the method is. In 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter here warns of some individuals in verse 16, and also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. That's true of the Word of God. That's not our point for reading this verse, but there are some things that are hard to understand. Not only that, there are some things that God is not going to allow you to understand. And I believe God has a timing for everything. But anyway, there are some things hard to be understood, which they, okay, referring back to the things that are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned, that is, untaught, and unstable, they rest, that is, they twist, they pervert, they lift Scripture out of context, they rest as they do also the other Scriptures. That is, they do this with all Scripture, but they do it especially with Scriptures that are hard to be understood. In other words, they're not careful. They're careless with the Word of God. And anyone who does this, they do so unto their own destruction. The mishandling of the Word of God is a result of carelessness. It can be deliberate. Some false teachers, it's deliberate. That's another subject. But the mishandling of the Word of God is a path that leads to destruction. It's a path that leads to spiritual destruction. This is why Paul told Timothy to study to show himself a workman approved, rightly dividing the word of God. We must be careful that we rightly divide the word of God. Now, if the word of God can be rightly divided, it can also be wrongly divided. And that's where the carefulness comes in. We must be careful that we do not wrongly divide the word of God. Following the guidelines that we've already given certainly goes a long way in preventing the wrongly dividing the word of God. So whatever method we choose, and we'll look at the methods next week, whatever method we choose, we must be careful. Whatever it is, we must be always careful when we handle the word of God because of what it is. Because it is God's word, we must be careful. Also, because of the danger of mishandling the word of God. It not only leads to our own destruction, it can lead to the destruction of others as well. Secondly, the method of reading, searching, studying the word of God should be orderly and systematic. Should not be random. In other words, there must be a plan. Whether you choose a method of topical or book or word by word, whatever method you choose, you have to have a plan. It has to be orderly, because the Word of God is orderly. The Word of God is the most orderly book ever written. It is very orderly. It is very systematic. The Word of God does not chase rabbits. Never does. It's always orderly. It's always in order. The Word of God is more than just a list of facts. It has an overall plot. That's why, again, it's good to study it in its chronological order. And God always teaches in a very orderly and systematic way. And you'll notice in Paul's epistles, Paul always taught in a very orderly and systematic way, because that's how the Bible is laid out. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 28, familiar verses of Scripture, we've referred to these many times. And I believe God, not only is the Bible to be studied in an orderly fashion, I believe God reveals truth in an orderly way and in a systematic way. There are some truths you're not going to learn until you learn other truths. Very orderly, very systematic. In Isaiah 28 and verse 10, "For precept must be upon precept." That is, one precept supports the other. They're all connected. Precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept. That's repeated. Wherever there's repetition in the Word of God, that is there for the sake of emphasis. It's there for the sake of importance. And this is an important truth. Precept upon precept. Very important. Line upon line, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. That reminds me of Ruth in gleaning. Gleaning. Here a little, there a little. You pick up something here, you go over here, you pick up something else, but you do not drop what you picked up over here. Here a little, there a little. Word of God, you do not learn overnight. It is a progressive. It is a process. Here a little, there a little. Verse 13. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. God reveals truth progressively through His Word. A lot of individuals, when someone comes to them with a biblical question, they would be wise in not necessarily answering that particular question, because that individual may not be ready for that answer. He needs to learn some other things first. Needs to get a foundation in some other truths. Someone comes to you and they want to know about baptism. Well, it would be wise to find out if they're saved first. You know, what's the point in discussing baptism if they're not saved? Salvation comes first. There's an order. And a lot of lost people, they want answers to the book of Revelation. Well, I've got news for you. Your biggest concern is whether or not you're saved. So rather than just jumping in and answering their questions on Revelation, it would be wise to start with salvation and make sure they're ready for these other things. Again, the Lord reveals truth progressively. Yet so often, God's people read the Word of God roaming at random. You don't read any other book that way. But God's people read the Word of God roaming at random, looking for whatever they feel they need at the time. Again, I've got news for you. What you feel you need at the time may not be what you need at all. God certainly knows what you need, far more than we do. But that's what a lot of people do. They get a trial in their life, so they begin thumbing through the Scriptures looking for verses that apply to that situation. That's not how you study the Word of God. That's random. That's very random. And you end up just kind of hopping around haphazardly from chapter to chapter. And again, any time you do that, just hop around from chapter to chapter, you've now created the danger of lifting things out of context. They just kind of roam from verse to verse with no lasting results. So the method of reading, the method of studying the Word of God with the greatest amount of profit. And that's what we ought to be interested in, what is our spiritual benefit. To the greatest amount of profit will be orderly. It will be systematically. It will be methodical. Bible study should be methodical, very orderly. The method of reading and searching and studying the Word of God, and we covered this to some degree, should be meditative. That is, what I mean by that is, when we read the Word of God, our mind ought to be actively engaged with what we're reading. And you say, well, that goes, of course that's going to happen. No, people read all the time without their mind being actively engaged with what they're reading. And nowhere is that more dangerous than with the Word of God. And that gets into our approach. We must make sure that we have the right mind to read the Word of God, that we have the right spirit in which to read the Word of God. So when I say our method should be meditative, what we're saying is that we ought to be thinking about what we're reading while we're reading it, and then, of course, after it has been read. we need to think what we're reading. We need to be actively engaged with what we're reading. This is how we make personal application. And there's going to be very little personal application if our mind is not actively engaged with what we're reading. So our method should pay attention. Our method should be precise. Again, it should not be random. The Bible is a very precise book. It's very exact. It's very detailed. Very detailed book. Every verse has much detail. You may not recognize it, but every verse has much detail. In the Bible, just the name of a person is filled with detail because, of course, their names meant something. God does not teach in vague terms. I know a lot of people would prefer it to be that way, but God does not teach in vague or shallow terms. He teaches with very definite precision. And that's how we're to read the Word of God, with exactness. And that is why it's important to observe, and we'll get to this at a later date in a lot of detail, but it is important to observe every single word. No word should be passed over, because the Bible is so precise. We must observe every word. And if we observe every word, we're far, far, far less likely to wrest or twist the scriptures and to lift them out of their setting. So our method should be with precision. A proper method of Bible study will be based upon sound Bible study principles. There's a process. Includes four things, and we've mentioned these before as well. It begins with our approach. We must approach the Word of God correctly. But our approach also, the spirit in which we approach the Word of God, assuming that it is a right spirit, that spirit must be maintained while we're reading the Word of God. All methods begin with approach. All Bible study begins with approach. We will assume that our approach is correct. That would lead us to the second step, which is observation. Observation. It's amazing how many people read the Word of God without observing any of it. I mean, it's amazing. Observation is the discovery of what a passage says. What does it say? You realize you can read without realizing what it says? So there is approach. There is observation. People would be amazed at what they see if they looked. And that's true with the Word of God. You might be amazed at what you see if you looked. But you're not going to see anything if you don't look. So there has to be observation. That leads to interpretation. Now these things go together. If we're in a right spirit in our approach, we're going to observe. And if our observation is correct, that leads us to that third step, interpretation. You cannot properly interpret if you do not properly observe. So observation must come before interpretation. A lot of people try to interpret without observing. Well, that's disaster. And that's where you get all these false theologies. And again, interpretation, observation is discovering what a passage says. It's not determining what a passage says, it's discovering what a passage says. Interpretation is discovering what it means. Well, how can you know what it means until you know what it says? You have to know what it says before you can know what it means. So, there is we have approach, we have observation, we have interpretation. And then, of course, you have the last thing, which is application, which also is the discovery. In all Bible study, that's what it should amount to, a discovery. It's a discovery. An application is the discovery of how a passage can be put to use, how it can be personally used in our lives. How does it apply to me personally? And we've run out of time. Let's look to the Lord. Word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for the day that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for the life that you've graciously granted unto us. And we thank you, Lord, for all the ways that you sustain our lives and the ways that you guide and direct our lives. And we thank you, Lord, today that you've guided us to your house. And we pray that you would bless us for being here, that you would bless us spiritually, that you would strengthen our souls, that we might go from here, Lord, more like thee this day. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.